To South Korea now, and the nation's former president, Yoon Suk-yeol, has been jailed for life over his failed attempt to impose martial law. The 65-year-old was found guilty of masterminding an insurrection in December 2024, with the court finding he'd violently tried to seize power of the National Assembly. His case and subsequent sentencing has polarised South Korea as crowds gathered in support of the former leader outside court yesterday. Jake Kwon is the BBC's correspondent in Seoul and joins me now. Jake, welcome to Breakfast.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
How do you describe the public reaction to this life sentence for the former South Korean president?
I think for many of us watching this case, I mean, it feels like a closure on what is probably one of the most chaotic chapters in South Korea's democracy. It's been 443 days since that night in December 2024 when he suddenly declared martial law. But among the political circle, no one is happy because, like you said, South Korea is a deeply polarized society, even more so after the martial law. I was out there when the verdict came down, and the Yoon supporters, more than 1,000 of them, started wailing. Some of them were in tears that he was given a guilty verdict. And just meters away, there was another group, anti-Yoon people, who were, again, you know, cursing the judge for not giving him the death sentence that the prosecutors have asked for. Mm-hmm. And we have heard the reaction from the main the ruling party, as well as other groups, all saying that, you know, he should have gotten the death sentence. So that really shows the chasm, you know, the huge gap between that is now existing in South Korean society.
Jake, that division, is some of that along generational lines, do you think?
I think there is a tendency, if you're an older voter, you would support traditionally the right-wing president, and Yoon had kind of become their hero. There is also a growing discontent with the current ruling party, which has been the dominant force in South Korean politics. I mean, Yoon was a bit of an aberration. He was considered an anti-establishment figure when he was voted in as the president. And a lot of young people who feel quite maybe disappointed or betrayed by the kind of failed economic promises of this government, they have gone over to the right wing in order to somehow shake up the politics. I think you'll see some of the parallels with other kind of right wing populist movements around the world. So that kind of old calculation that if you're older, you would vote right wing. If you're younger, you would vote left wing. I don't think that really works anymore.
Mm-hmm. How is this playing out in families? And I'm wondering, even for your family, Jake, how this is playing out, because generations before had fought for democracy, particularly in the 1980s. What was it like back in December 2024 when all this unfolded for you and your family?
Certainly. I mean, me and a lot of us growing up, I mean, I was born the year that South Korea's last dictator stepped down. So I don't remember the time of the military dictatorship, but a lot of us grew up here hearing the stories of nighttime kind of arrests where people will be disappeared and people will be taken into these kind of black sites and get tortured until they confess, you know, that they're communists and spies, etc., these human rights abuses. And I remember my father always telling me how proud he was that South Korea achieved democracy in 1987, that he also was so, that his kind of group of friends and student activists, how he tried to help them whenever he could. And when that martial law order came in December 2024, I remember my father calling me almost immediately, telling me to not go outside, to not do my job, because I was getting ready to go to the National Assembly to, of course, do my job. And He was no longer that proud man that had fought for democracy. He was telling me to not fight, that I will be arrested. And he sounded so small and terrified. I remember feeling very moved. emotionally. And I remember also, you know, that night, a lot of us didn't know how the night was going to go. We all had the sense that this was a pivotal moment. You know, a lot of the news lines that were arriving, that political activities are now outlawed, it all sounded fantastical. And I remember putting on my best kind of white button-up shirt, thinking that perhaps it will lessen the chance of me getting arrested by the soldiers or perhaps getting shot. You know, when we arrived at the National Assembly, we were getting news that, you know, fully armed tactical gear soldiers were in the parliament having a grappling struggle with the lawmakers. I mean, this all sounded far-fetched. So I think a lot of people who were gathered that night, it was bitingly cold. More than 1,000 people were outside the parliament and inside as well, helping barricade the hallway. It was a shock. It was a reminder of how fragile the democracy could be. I remember speaking with an old man who was out there to protest. And he said, you know, he remembers the time of the strong men, and it was a terrifying time. And he said he simply cannot let it happen again in South Korea. So I think a lot of South Korean people who have gathered remembers and feels quite proud of South Korea's democratic kind of history, which is very recent. But this is a pretty shared feeling.
Jake, amazing. It's one thing to see things unfolding on a national level, but they also unfold at a family and generational level as well. Thank you very much for talking to me this morning.
Oh, thank you very much.